Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me?
Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. I am not going to delay. I'm going to bring on our host for tonight, our very own Dr. Ridgely. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaykum salam. Do you have a guest on from, I think it's, what's the area code? Brother, is brother,
Brother Ali?
Louis Ali? Ali? Oh, hit the one, please. Be in the host queue.
Well, looks like he's on. Let's see.
As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Calls. We're called. How are you?
Well, alaykum salam.
Yes, sir. Well, alaykum salam. Man, we're glad you can make it, man. And, whew, man, I just got in from the flour mill. And, you know, when you got two flour mills going and two mixers going and things is going good, you don't want to stop.
That's right.
The next time you start up, something could be broke. And you, as a man who makes his money using his skills and his means,
that's right.
Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right, sir.
Because one thing about equipment, it will break down on you, especially right when you do not need it to break down. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely right.
And so some of us just give up. But men like you and me, we just keep moving. And your cousin, Brother Allen, Bill Allen, he just kept moving from one thing to the next. And the next thing you know, he is resurrecting the new Black Wall Street up there in Stonecrest, Georgia. And I was up there, what, a week ago, a couple of weeks ago? Man, I don't know even what time it is. But anyway, I know I was up there, me and my wife. and we had a great time. I thought it was a great idea. It looked great. It was professionally done. A lot of people was there. I am impressed. So can you give a little story behind that, Brother Brother Lewis, how they got started?
Absolutely. And they got started the same way you and me got started, by understanding that skills pay the bills and land literacy for all the land illiterates, meaning that if something breaks on the land, you know that it's going to have to be a man or somebody to repair it and have to have the skills to repair. So it's a real humble beginning, Dr. Ridgely. Mr. Bill Allen has been in business for a long time and started out with a little daycare that grew into a bunch of daycares everywhere, that grew into charter schools everywhere. And he's a perfectionist. And at every family reunion or family gathering, he has a few little models that he says, which he organized them. And he always says, ownership, 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 ownership. And he always says that he'd get us to repeat, if my mind can conceive it, and in my heart I believe it, I will achieve it.
Come on.
Whenever he's a businessman, he's a humble man, and he's a very kind man, and he's a very shy man. And whenever
I can attest to this. He's a humble man. He's a quiet man. He's a smart man. I met him, you know, went up there to one of his entrepreneurship classes that had a graduation. Me and my wife were highly impressed with his whole operation, especially the children that he was training. And
he
was just low-key, you know what I mean? He lived in a mansion, okay, that his place, his hotel there was immaculate. His school was immaculate. In other words, if you made a mistake and rolled up in there, you would have swore you was at a white person's place and said, wait a minute, I might have made a mistake. I must have made a mistake, man. Let me go check out. I don't want to go to jail here on somebody's own property. But I mean, that's how impressed that we were, and that's how impressed we were with the – but go ahead with the story. I talk too much. I'm going to
no,
check tonight and let you tell it. Tell it, my bad. Tell it.
No, you're correct. He's very humble, but he's also a fierce taskmaster. When he wants you to work or do something, he'll push the group, and he's always been like that. And so normally a lot of us, and we talk about the black condition, our condition, and we talk about it consistently, and we highlight the losses that we have, whereas his mentality is to highlight the victories and how we can win and how we can solve the problem. So to make a long story short, that without going, you know, way down the family history, he maybe about 3.5 years ago, because, you know, I talk a lot of black talk too, I got a call from him, and he said that, you know, Lewis, we always talk about this Black Wall Street and all the terrible things that happened. He said, okay, we're going to rebuild it. Let's rebuild it. Well, he's not a bluff.
Just like that.
He's not somebody who bluffs and plays around. If he tells you he's going to do something, no matter how soft he says it, he absolutely means it. And so the property came up for sale around the Stonecrest Mall, and it was over 300 and some acres. I think it's 325. And this is all commercial property, prime real estate. And the mall used to own the property, and it came up for sale. And he went and had his people to go and start going into negotiations with it for them. And he purchased the property. The property was it's part of a larger development, a new Wall Street development. But after what happened to George Floyd, the inspiration came to rebuild and make a Black Wall Street out of it. It's been over 100 years. Everybody knows it was burnt down. We have tons of wealthy black people in the country, And we always talk about how it was burnt down and everything that's happened, and all that's true. But we have to get to the point to where we say these towns and cities that were destroyed, we have to rebuild them. Now, I'm going to segue, and I'll come right back to that. While he's doing that on that side, we were doing from a social activism point of view, we being me, you, Dr. Ridgely, Sister Ava, Dr. Ava Muhammad was the point person, but it was many other activists, and we were going around. We first raised the question, how has integration affected black businesses? And then it started going into, should blacks consider separation? Mm. And it led to blacks must consider separation. Now, we've been all around the country preaching and talking about this, and it has led straight to the door of the Resurrect Black Wall Street movement, where black people now are buying property like they've never bought it before in the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a backdrop to the resurrection of Black Wall Street in Stonecrest, Georgia. So when COVID hit, we started on it and couldn't quite get it finished because of COVID, couldn't get it open up. But Mr. Bill Allen was there every day, probably giving any architect a fit. We were laughing when we went to see him because he actually sketched the whole design on hand and then done it. The architect wanted to charge a lot of money for that, but he did all the architecture work in there himself. I witnessed him.
Wow.
Do it. And he stayed there every day.
Hold on. So what training did he have to do that? Or is it something he just learned on his own?
It's something he just he also plays classical piano. You'll never see him play a piano, but he can. He plays classical piano. He's super talented. And if he thinks about something that he wants to do, he'll just start to doing it. So he drew that on his own, and he didn't do it on a computer. He actually drew it on paper himself. Me and my wife looked at it and watched him do it. And every time during the course of the building, he's seen something that he thought was off, because if you notice, he has a New Orleans style on the streets.
Right.
He designed all that, the bricks, all of that stuff, he designed all of that himself.
Wow.
Before he completed the project, my cousin Aaron was alive, but unfortunately my cousin passed in October 2020. And so a lot of the ripping and running that my younger cousin done, that fell on him during the course of this. You know, it's been really tough, but he wouldn't even know that he went through all of that because he
wow.
keeps pushing us, you know, just keeps pushing, you know. And by God's grace, we had the soft opening a few weeks ago, Dr. Ridgely. So that's where I would like to start at, you know.
Okay, you say a soft opening.
Mm-hmm. What you came to was the soft opening, and all of the businesses weren't open yet. But that was phenomenal because
how many businesses were open, and how many businesses are planned to be? Or how many businesses will be in there when it's complete, and how many businesses were open when I went up there? I saw a lot of businesses.
When you were there, over 60 businesses were there when you were there.
Okay.
Over 60 businesses were there. But it's going to have over 100 businesses in the place.
Wow.
And the good thing, and you know, we have a saying in Louisiana, you can't be a bee without a beehive. And what white people done by selling us this fake idea of so-called integration, they scattered all the bees. And even little boys down south sometimes get a jar and put an individual bee or business in a jar so that they can look at it or showcase it.
Mm.
But what he's done in creating this new Black Wall Street market is he's harnessed power by creating a beehive where all of the businesses can go and work and learn from each other, but even more so, can benefit from each other's traffic count. When you start looking at land in, and I always talk about land literacy sometime, I got to write this book, but what gives land value? People power. Like if you have a piece of land and you have a million people on a piece of land versus 1,000 people on a piece of land, and the million people are organized and the 1,000 people are not, which piece of property is more valuable? Wherever you have the most people in production,
that's
people
right.
plus production on land gives land value. The value of
right.
land is subjective. But what are the subjective
right.
things that you have to look at in order to tell how valuable land is? You start looking at land integrity and traffic count. How many people? So when you go by, all of the property around that mall is commercial property.
Right.
The intent is to create a village where over 3,000 people can live there and work there together. And it's always important for you to develop your business industry before housing, even though some people who like to make money as a developer off of houses, they want you to do that first because they don't care if the people are working. Well, my cousin, he cares.
Listen.
He wants people to be productive and to be excellent. So in order to have a business in the new Black Wall Street market, you have to go through his training with customer service. And if you mistreat the customer, the first time you're warned, and the next time they put you out. You can't be – we have to become the kind of people that give impeccable customer service.
That's right. Come on.
The businesses that were there benefit from each other's traffic count, but also when a lot of bees are in a beehive together, and I'm calling businesses bees, it's
right.
a security force to protect and
come
watch
on.
Out for one another's business. And then when you start – he's going to build – these skyscraper high-class apartments or town hall, whatever you call them, you know, homes. You live within walking distance of your business, a secure community, and you constantly produce. Now, I've seen so many businesses and I interviewed a lot of the business owners there, but one of the ones that reminded me a lot of a young version of myself. There was a young brother there, I think he was 17 years old, and he had an ice cream little shop. Did you see him, Dr. Ridgely?
Yes, sir.
That little brother was...
I didn't get a chance to get the ice cream, but I saw him.
He had all of those customers there, and he was dealing with his customers. See, when young people see other young people in business and... He was, you know, he had his little hip-hop clothes on, but, man, he was getting down. I can't get him out of my mind seeing how good he was and how he was doing his ice cream and serving it. He was making money, and guess what? He wasn't selling drugs. He don't want to sell drugs. He's making his money selling ice cream. And when we had black business districts, there were a lot of young people like that.
Right.
And this makes that young man respectful and respectable. And our young people, when they start seeing us working together with sovereignty, like my cousin doesn't own his business. That's that young man's business. But it's put him in a situation where he can earn good money. Everybody can make money. There's nothing wrong with making money, Dr. Ridgely. But it's how
let me think about that. I think you're 105% correct on that. Go ahead.
So we got to get
back. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to make money. He taught us to do for self to make money. Go out and get a job with a white man, but do for self to make money and put yourself in heaven at once. So go ahead, Brother Lewis.
What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and this is something we have to think about, it wasn't just for the mosque. It was for the whole nation of Islam. And many
That's
of our
right.
people during COVID, they were watching quiet as it's kept. A lot of people who we think ain't watching the minister are watching and listening to the minister.
Mm.
And so they're taking the teachings and they're creating beehives and buying stuff and doing stuff. So we have to
That's
really
right.
up our understanding of the teachings in terms of how to build a community. We start with the business district. Well, if we have 3,000 people, I'm using that as an example, then we got to have a hospital. We got to have all these different services, but close to the beehive. And the more we produce,
right.
and see, this is Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, is receiving 3,000 people. They're calling it the Great Exodus to Atlanta per week. But this is a great exodus period where people are leaving the cities. Why are they leaving the cities? Crime, pollution.
Okay, hold it. But let's be specific now. They're leaving the northern cities coming south. Atlanta
That's right.
is still a city. It's a big city. But they
That's
leave
right.
the northern cities coming south to the southern cities. Go ahead.
That's right. That you're exactly right. They're leaving the north. They're leaving the east. They're even leaving the west. California's
That's right.
got a homeless problem off the chain. So we have to be prepared to be great servants of people. They got, and see, the thing about being around all business people want to they want to earn some money. So you can learn a lot.
Right.
So your IQ, your financial IQ will always be upped when you hang around people and talk to people who are in business. All of those businesses have to have accounting.
That's
they got to
right.
have security. They got to have somebody who understands QuickBooks, which create other jobs for other people. But now, once you got 100 people every day coming into an area, not only are you doing business, but you're actually learning stuff that you wouldn't learn by going to the sterile college-educated, you know, just hanging around in those kind of environments.
You know, let me break in right here. Because what you're saying is so important. Let me, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he said what? Don't hang around Negroes.
That's right.
Okay. What he meant by that is you can't hang around dead people. You
That's
see
right.
dead people and you leave them alone.
That's
you
right.
need to hang around people who are awake. Now, people who are in business, what do you think their conversation is going to be? Their conversation
business.
Is going to be about business.
That's right.
Their conversation is going to be about what's going on in the world that's related to business because it's going to affect all of us. And then they're going to talk about business. So you get your business IQ up by talking to people in business, not by talking to winos on the street who missed a shot at a basketball game when they were in high school and still talking about that.
That's right.
Okay?
That
you
is
talk,
so true.
You talk to somebody who you say, listen, man, I was selling this, and now my cups been going up, man. Your cups going up? Yeah, my cups went up too, man. We got to find out what's going on. Maybe we got to change the cups we're using because, you know, I'm losing money. You see what I'm saying? Your simple stuff like that, your business acumen will increase by talking to people in business and instead of talking to ne'er-you-do-wells, people who still living in the past by what they used to do in high school, somebody betting on some football game that they ain't got no, they don't have no share in the game. They ain't got no share in no team. But you
right.
act like that's their team. That's my team. You got no share in that team? You got no stock in that team? Tell me that's my team. But when you're in there with 100 other business people, you go talk business. I'm going to shut up. Go ahead, brother. Let it loose, Brother Lewis.
You know, the Million Man March, the theme was atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. Somebody asked me recently, they said, how did you feel at the new Black Wall Street Market? I said, I felt like it was the next day or the next step after the Million Man March. Now, nobody in the new Black Wall Street Market was smoking or drink or being a drunkard, cussing. I heard no profanity. And it is a myth that black people don't want to support black businesses. That is just not the truth. And we have Savior's Day to prove it. And you made the remark, Dr. Ridgely, when you said, this is almost like Savior's Day. Remember we were walking back there? You said, the people were so eager and happy to spend their money. People were sitting down eating ice cream and eating. They even had vendors outside selling fried fish. And when I seen the whiting, I was like, oh, my God, they out here selling whiting. It wasn't catfish. They had whiting fish, which triggered my mind to say, man, I got to take some time to figure out how we can get this fish program back going. But think about the residual businesses that could benefit from that. Now, they want whatever products that Muhammad's Farm can supply them with, okay? But suppose, since there is cold refrigeration there, suppose we say, well, why don't we put some whiting fish in there again? Let's see how it does. Mm. Obviously, since the line was all those people buying those fish plates, somebody wants the whiting fish.
Right.
How can we negotiate to start getting it? But we don't want to just do it in Georgia. See, when I went to an FOI class in 1997, and I was sitting on the second row, and the minister was teaching the FOI class. I'll never forget this. There was a brother, I think his name was Brother James, big brother, used to play for the New York Giants. He's a FOI. He was in the FOI class. And the minister said he was going to be one of the only men to make his followers rich. And the brother said, spiritually rich. He was loud with it. And the minister turned around and looked at that brother. He said, no, not just spiritually rich, physically rich. And we're not going to rob and steal from nobody to do it. But what we got going for us is we got brothers in every city, but we got to be activated and think better, and think big and dream big. What if we start setting up these new Black Wall Streets in every city, Black business districts? And we ain't setting it up just for the so-called people in the mosque. The people in the mosque are not enough people to support our businesses, Dr. Ridgely. We need the totality of Black America to support our businesses the same way that other group has them supporting their businesses.
That's right.
I believe that we are smart enough, honest enough, intelligent enough, and certainly courageous enough to do it, irregardless of what anybody else thinks. And the proof of it is the new Black Wall Street market in Stonecrest, Georgia. Quietly working, just work. Work real hard, organize together, build something, and our people are ready for it. Within 2 days, I looked at the, Black Enterprise. They reported that over 10,000 people came.
Right.
10,000 people, over 10,000 people came on Sunday. But on Saturday, my wife was there, her and some other sisters with a counter in their hand. It was almost 7,000 people that came in there that day. And and to show you how, and I made a mention to you all about, well, I don't know if we should have certain people on the banner, because I put the banner up.
Right. Talk about that.
We got to get out of this thinking that our people don't want to be around Muslims. That's not true. Even our wealthy people want to be around Muslims. But we got to, as Muslims, conduct ourselves with excellence. And the Muslims should not be ashamed to say that we are the best, because we don't steal people's money, and we want to do excellent service, and we have a sincere desire with no money to want to see our people get up to the top. So we don't have to shy away from the fact that I'm not embarrassed, and none of us should be embarrassed, to say that we crisscrossed this country raising our people's conscious level so that they could support a Black Wall Street. They didn't want to say Black nothing until we started really leaning in on how has integration affected Black businesses. It destroyed our businesses. You made mention of how many hospitals we had. They have to be rebuilt. We can't forever go around and just say what we had and not rebuild it, but the only way we can rebuild it is is we have to have people that are bold enough to prick the conscience of the black doctors and the money people so that they can start rebuilding them. If we don't do this, if we don't do it, we're not going to survive. God did not come in person for us to forever be up under somebody else's rule. He came to put us on top. And I believe we can work together, Dr. Ridgely, for us all to get right back to where God would have us at, on top.
You know, you said something powerful, Brother Lewis, in that people listen to the minister. And what they do is they might not come and join them in the nation, but they listen to the minister, and then they go and they start thinking and they start doing it, not
That's
just
right.
talking about it. They start doing it, and this is why all of a sudden a nation is going to spring up in the hills of North America and overnight because
That's
the people
right.
have been listening, they've been thinking, and these white folks with this COVID-19, how they treated us and how they still doing it, this has let a lot of black folks know. Finally, this dude is about to kill us. This dude is evil. He is out to kill us. We're going to have to do something for ourselves. The hell with them. COVID-19 scared us to death to life. Because
right.
it scared us to death. And they said, whoa, Elijah was right. Farrakhan, we got to do for self. And a lot of times, they don't even go by knock on the door and say, thank you, Minister Farrakhan, for telling me the truth so I can go ahead on do. They go ahead on and doing this. All right? So we have to be an example for them and not just stop. We got to stop just preaching it. We got to make it happen. And so they can see it to what? To bear witness to the truth we have.
That's
and
right.
to make Minister Farrakhan's word bond by us making it happen. So
That's
I,
right.
I was, when I went up there, it was so impressed the way they got it laid out. You know, like I said, it looks like New Orleans style thing, man. It was clean, immaculate. The floor was immaculate. You know what I'm talking about? That
That's
floor
right.
was immaculate. The walls were immaculate. And the people were on time. Everybody was walking around like, hey, this is a new Black Wall Street. In other words, it really felt a new spirit.
That's
and so
right.
we got to keep building on that. And tell them about what's about to happen on Bad Friday. I mean Good Friday. What's they call that thing?
Well, we're calling it the blackest Black Friday ever. And, you know, a lot of times you have to forgive me. I've been trying to think of the exact quote from the minister where the minister told us to redirect the pain. Remember that? Maybe that was some years ago where the minister
he was quoting Dr. King, right.
We take
redirect the pain. That's when Dr. King, they saw that boycott out there in Memphis. And
right.
then, you know, they killed him for that one. Nobody don't talk about that. They don't talk about that part about King, about have a dream. Talk about the have a dream, but they don't talk about redirect the pain.
That's right.
Okay. They don't talk about that.
See,
go ahead.
We want to shop with one another, but we got to really start having reasonable conversations with our people. If all of the black businesses, if it's a black business in one proximity, and the next one's 10 miles away, and the next one's 10 miles away, and the next one's 5 miles away, and the next one, and they all are in their little mom and pop, little hole that don't look like nothing, is it feasible for us to go and shop there? Are we not shopping there because we hate ourselves, or is it that it's just such an inconvenience that we can't really afford to drive in all of those different directions?
Okay.
Because of time.
Let me deal with that.
Yes.
Okay. And then we go open up for questions.
Okay.
Because see, brother, when you say stuff, and it stimulates me to remember something. You know, I'm a little bit older than you, but you've experienced it. I know in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I saw them when they ran the expressway right through the black community.
That's right.
And
urban
cut
removal.
Off the urban removal and cut off the main thoroughfares in the black community. And in the white community, they built bridges over and tunnels under the highway. But in our community, they just cut the streets off.
Man. And so now a thoroughfare became a one a dead end street, and they wiped out the business district in the black community. They did this all over the country. When we had these under segregation, we developed our own black business districts, but they came through with urban removal. They called it urban renewal, and ran these 4 and 6 lane expressways right through the middle of our business sections. And
that's
now
right.
People all spread out. My in-laws, my cousins, they moved twice in Winston-Salem. Urban removal. Moved them twice, and the second time they had to move again, they just forgot about it. Forget it. They just gave up. But this is the type of wickedness. And so, yes, we will work violate one another, but they purposely divided us up to make it impossible for us to service one another. So this idea of this collective business model of bringing all these businesses together in one clump, so that now you can go from this spot to this spot to this spot. They don't have that. Somebody over there got that. And now you, it's called synergy. And I love that stage y'all got up there. They had a stage there. Why? We could have talent shows. Everybody trying to get discovered.
That's
we
right.
Have talent shows there. You know what I'm
That's
talking
right.
about?
Something That's right.
Give entertainment. This is what they do in Africa all the time at the market, the traders market. They have 2 trading days. Okay, and that's what people do. They have entertainment and everything there at the market. So y'all can do the same thing there at Black Wall Street, man. I love it. And Brother Carlton, if anybody want to talk to Brother Lewis, because I talk his ear off. Is anybody else out there want to
ask Brother Lewis? Not at the moment, but I'm sure there's somebody, now that you mentioned that that the listeners have an opportunity to participate in the conversation, press that 1 on your dial and we'll bring you in.
You know,
go
let
ahead,
me say
Dr.
this. I talked Brother Lewis's ear off because me and Brother Lewis be talking. You know, we called each other a lot. We talk
right.
a lot, and we went around the country together talking this stuff, man. And what's that saying that you came up with? How much integration?
Oh, how much
and
more integration can the black community bear? We
and,
were saying
and,
that.
And
at
the response
our,
is,
no more. It's killing us. And we went from city to city. Raising that question, it's real important that we don't shy away from, we can't be ashamed of what we've done to help stimulate and motivate our people to say, hey, man, let's look at how can we recycle and take charge over the black dollars. Look at this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calls for 1 million black men to come to Washington, D.C., and 2 million showed up, and they paid their own way.
Come on.
These people who they call the irresponsible black men paid their own way, came from every walk of life to D.C. to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan not come out and cuss the government out, but ask us to put more weight of atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility on our plate to focus on solving a problem. Now look at this, Dr. Ridgely. If you had 1 million black people, and you can go to newblackwallstreet.com to find out more information, but if you had 1 million black people, and it's 40 to 50 million of us, spend a meager $100 annually on a product in the new Black Wall Street market. So you're going to get a product, but just spend it there. Redirect your money and spend it there once a year. You know how much money that is? That's $100 million.
That's right.
You take the $100 million and you put a tax on yourself. And you say, you know what? Brother Lewis and the Hot Black Coffee Party crew of social activists are down there in Baton Rouge, and they didn't bought some property. Maybe they want to build a new Black Wall Street market. It don't have to be as big, but based on this model.
Right.
Maybe we can loan them the money and get the lawyers and do it right so that they can build one there, so that when the nation has their whiting fish, they can have refrigeration in Georgia, but also in Louisiana. And every year, you use your model to circumvent around almost like the Kaaba in Mecca. And you just keep growing the cities. Now, you have to join the new Black Wall Street market. When you go on the line, you'll see it. You have to join it. And there is training. A lot of us, we are ignorant, excuse me, all of us to an extent, but some of us more than others, even in business. You can't treat people any kind of way and expect them to support our businesses. So there's a three-day class.
Right.
You train your public officials, your politicians. Train them. We need the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we have to be qualified. And really you have to be qualified to be dignified. You can't just be somebody who treats people any kind of way and expect people to support business. So you start training people, and then they go train others, and then Louisiana can have its flavor of the new Black Wall Street business, Black Business District. But one of the mistakes that we can't afford to make is we can't take black out of it. Because if we take black out of it, we'll lose our identity, and then we can't justify having that business anymore because then they can go to any other business also. We push our people, and the little black boys that's running around here, so-called gang-banging and being a little low-cut criminals, that brother who owned that ice cream shop, if you seen him on the streets, maybe you would think he was some wayward youth. But, man, that brother was getting down. Our young people are ready for training where they can make a decent salary. They'll stop a lot of this foolishness if we give them something to do. The greatest sin that that we have been guilty of as black men, but black women too, but especially black men, is the sin of wasting time and being idle. It's the original sin. So God has to create a devil in order to put fire on us in order to make us move. So we solve the riddle. We don't want to be idle. We want to be busy bees, businesses, teaching them when they're really young about business and not business that exploits people.
But Lewis,
yes,
you got to give this little history now. You know, I don't want to get the impression that black men have always been lazy like this. You got to give them the history about how they play the game with you having to have a written test to be a contractor after they gave us integration. Give us that story, brother.
In 1954, after Brown versus the Board of Education went through, the radical demonic people down south, white folk, in Alabama, Mississippi, but it was led by Louisiana, came up with the Louisiana Contractors Board. I think it was in Georgia also. And what it done was all of the skilled tradesmen who were black, who were building all the white folks' houses, doing all of the plumbing, doing electricity, doing all the skilled trades, they told them the only way you can self-contract or be a contractor, you have to go before this board and take this test. They grandfathered the white companies in. They wouldn't let some of the brothers didn't, you know how to, couldn't pass the test. And what they done was they dissuaded them out of business, forced them to have to work for white companies. And a lot of times when you work for the white companies, you couldn't bring your son along or your cousins along, your family along to teach them the trade. Well, I never went to that kind of, I did a little time in diesel mechanic school, but the trade that I learned it through my family. So in the South, the way you learn your skill, just like with my younger boys, you learn the skill by being with your father, and they just teach you constantly, repetitious, until you become really good at it. It's like swimming. It's nothing. But when they decided that the only way you can get, you will be able to continue working in your trade is you have to have that Louisiana contractor's license, that destroyed a lot of black businesses. And they knew exactly what they're doing because they forced them to have to work for the white companies, the big companies.
Now you see, these stories are important because we need, our young people don't know anything about this, and they don't, and they think that we've always been sorry as hell. You know what I mean? They don't know the systematic planned destruction of taking a piece, us apart, a piece by piece.
while the NAACP was begging white folks to get in, they was wiping out what we had behind us.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So they scientifically, like a war, took us down the way they took down the black farmers. I can talk all day about that because I saw the conspiracy. I saw it happening when I was out there fighting for them with this lawsuit. I saw it happening. And I studied the history of it and saw it happening. So they do this. This is what they do. And we're going to have to sit and plan ourselves. And I love your cousin for just sticking with his idea and making it happen because it sure enough looked good to me. I can see those in every community. Oh, no, come no. on now. So we got any calls, Brother Cole?
Not yet, Dr. Richie. We still don't have any. Brothers and sisters, we got 15 minutes left in the show, 20 minutes left. 15 minutes left, so if you want to take part in this conversation, ask a question or make a comment, now's your time. Press the 1-year dial. I'll let you know when somebody comes on, Doc.
Okay.
Oh, we got a caller.
You know. Oh, okay. Good. Praise be to Allah. Put them
on. Looks like it's Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, and I just wanted to say, pardon?
Now, I know you got to say, my husband talks too much, but go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Brother Lewis, I was blown away by the crowd of people, the businesses, and you are right. Customer service was excellent. I was shopping in the mall, and I walked all the way around, stopping at different places. Well, first of all, I saw the ginger juice stand, and it was a line there. I said, well, you know, maybe the line will be gone by the time I get back around. I walked all the way around the mall, stopping, buying things, and I suppose it was an hour or so later, about an hour and a half, I came back through, and the line had grown. I said, okay, let me get in this line. So I got in the line, and everybody was just real nice.
Yeah.
Real nice. The customers, they were nice, and the people, the business owners. So she saw the line, and some people got it. Everybody wanted to get a sip. You know, they were giving away free samples. Well, I didn't want a free sample. I looked at the list, and I knew exactly what I wanted. So one of the females up there at the desk, she saw the line. And it wasn't moving because some people had got up there and they were just sipping samples. Didn't care about who was in the line. So she came from behind the desk and just asked people, you know, what they want. I said, I know what I want. I want such and such. And she got the next person. So by the time we got up there, they had our stuff ready. I was just amazed at the way they handled everybody, just giving away free samples. And everywhere I went, I bought hair products. They gave free samples. I didn't know I had the free samples until I got home and looked in the bag. But there were several free samples in there. So I just want to say that if that's the way they're being trained, they are going to have a lot of success in all of the businesses there.
Praise be to God.
Because I was treated very nicely by everyone.
Praise be to Allah.
Well, you
and
know,
that's it.
We took a picture together, and people are praising that picture, and Sister Ann got a bag in her hands and smiling. I think it was Sister Ann's smile and the bags in her hand. Let everybody know, wow, she looked happy.
That's right.
But it was beautiful.
And we're breaking myths and stereotypes that need to be put to rest. Black people want to support black businesses.
Right.
We have to create the infrastructure to where we can feasibly do it again. Black men and black women want to marry each other, too. But everything that they have done,
that's
we're
right.
going to rebuild by God's permission, because he came in person to deliver us from our wretched condition. All we got to do is be totally confident in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program and think bigger than the little mosque that we're in. That mosque is a training ground, but the world belongs to the righteous. And so the more we come out, we're going to see. When that brother found out that Dr. Ridgely, I'm talking about Matt Hamilton, the director of the New Black Wall Street Market, you seen how quick and excited he was, Doc, to take any product that you have?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for black farmers and black people with products. Sister Ann's muffins, I can just see them in there. The only thing of it is that if I get up there, I know I'm going to gain a lot of weight, because every time I fool around with Sister Ann's muffins, I wind up eating way more than what I'm supposed to. And I have to get back to Louisiana and punish myself to get that weight off, you know. But they are absolutely delicious. And, you know, it always helps when you see other black businesses just doing little bitty stuff on the marketing side of it.
Right.
And tweaking it so that you can sell more of the product and branding the product properly. This is a product that's in the New Black, one of the original products in the New Black Wall Street Market. I want so badly, Dr. Ridgely, and I know you do too, and I know Sister Ava does. I know the nation does. We want to rebuild our black business districts. As people come out from the north and the east and the west, we want them to be able to come to our city. And really, we're the leaders in these cities. We got to start acting like that and start really looking at what we can do. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad showed us without the internet how valuable the fish program is. If nobody else can step up and do it, we got to do it. But we ain't got to do it just in the mosque. We can do it wherever we're at. People love whiting fish. And they proved it by how many people bought fish out there at the New Black Wall Street Market.
And we have a caller, Dr. Ridgely.
Okay, all right. Put them on.
Caller with the last four digits, 8804. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Andrea from Eolia, Missouri, and I'm just calling to say, you know, I'm listening to you all talk, and it sounds like a little bit of heaven to me. I know if we are patronizing Amazon and all these other stores, we definitely can come together and patronize our own. I'm looking forward to getting to Georgia so I can see the New Black Wall Street, and I just thank all of you.
Praise be to Allah.
Well, we're sitting here waiting on you to get. We're sitting here waiting on you to get to North Georgia too, Sister Andrew, and all the rest of them.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir. I am coming. I'm working at it. I'm still coming.
Oh, praise you. Let's make this thing happen. But
yes,
like
sir.
Brother Lewis said, 3,000 per week. Is that right, Brother Lewis?
3,000 per week moving to Atlanta. Coming in that area.
You know, in that area.
Georgia,
you know, this
leading
is,
the
this,
charge for the country.
I call it the reverse underground railroad.
It sure is.
The reverse underground railroad. The exodus from Pharaoh coming back to that area that we built. We built the South. Okay? We built the South, and they ran us out of here. And now we're coming back home to take it for good. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we're going to get these 8 states. He didn't say which ones, but I know Georgia's going to be one of them. I know Alabama's going to be one of them. I know Mississippi's going to be one of them. I know Louisiana's going to be one of them. I don't know about the others which one it's going to be, but I know it'll be Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. Now, them other folk, y'all got to go. But, hey, them folk gonna be in the house.
And, you know, Doc, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not want us believing in no mystery or no spook God. And I think about that all the time. Because a spook God is not intentional. The real God is very intentional. So we don't, that's the reason why I keep mentioning it's important to keep it black. Black is color, consciousness, and a connection to our Creator. But the people who are moving to Atlanta are moving to Georgia. The reason why Georgia is just booming with black millionaires in production is because, like the foreigners who come to this country, they move here with an intention. They intend to come to the black neighborhood and take over. Well, the people, the black people who are coming to Georgia, it's intentional. They're not coming there with the belief that some spook or something is going. They're coming there with the intention of being successful. Just think about if we are intentional about making our communities safe and decent places to live and rebuilding the black business district and rebuilding the black community. We can do it. The sister who moved out on faith down there in Georgia, those 19 families that went out there and bought all of that property, they had to buy more property because what they didn't know is that they were at the forefront of an idea that was ready to come into fruition. My cousin Bill Allen, the timing of it has proved that black people are ready for this. So if any of us move out with intention, Master Farid Muhammad is going to back us. And he's going to bless us. All we have to do is unite, practice the restrictive law, and move out and watch what happens. If you go take Sister Ann's muffins and market them right and put them in the new Black Wall Street market, I guarantee you our people will buy it. And every time somebody eats those muffins, that's a new customer that's going to tell people. Before you know it, it spreads all out. And we can take over. The other groups of people in this country who took over, they didn't start out big. They started out small. I know a Caucasian in Louisiana who had some potato chips that he was cooking in his garage, and his garage might have been 400 square feet, maybe. And he got potato chips now everywhere. And this has been less than 20 years. We have to focus on winning, success. Every time we have a victory, the rest of us should just be cheering for one another. Sell those muffins, Sister Ann. You got the best ones, and we should talk it up and let everybody know what we have. And when we help the other one get up and just keep moving like that. Before long, we'll be up, Doc.
Well, I'm gonna have to figure out how we can get up there and have a couple of pans of muffin mix. We can give them little pieces with a toothpick. To have them sample it.
The blackest Black Friday ever, and bring the muffins.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, man, I can see that. Yep, because that muffin mix, man, her muffins, man, they all just, no, I was survived. That's my girl thinking I was survived. I mean, brother, how we contact? NewBlackWallStreet.com. Is that what you said?
NewBlackWallStreet.com.
NewBlackWallStreet.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise is due to Allah.
NewBlackWallStreetMarket.com. Yes. Yes, sir.
NewBlackWallStreetMarket.com. NewBlackWallStreetMarket.com.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Tune in for Dr. Ava.
That's right. Dr. Ava coming up next. Elevated Place.
Yes, sir. All right. As-salamu alaykum.